I think of the fact that many people fail to recognize that they can be a conduit of the kingdom here and now. And I think that's the point of the overflow. It's like you recognize that when you plug into that same spirit that Jesus plugged into, which was the Godhead, this triune existence, he could live out the overflow and it changed people's lives.
Hello and welcome to the Overflow Podcast. This is a podcast on a mission to discover how you and I can live a life of abundance, full to overflowing. In this first season, we've been unpacking biblical principles on gifts like love, grace, and forgiveness, and how we can better receive them and pass them on to others. This is episode 8. My name is Carl Lindsay, and I'm joined by my friend and co-host, Philip Miller-Savlovich. How's it going, Philip?
Hey, Carl. Good to hear your Australian voice.
Speaking of, I've got a question for you. On behalf of our listeners, where does your last name come from? Because it's certainly challenging to pronounce correctly. Miller-Savlovich?
Did someone really actually ask that? That's awesome. It is Serbian in origin, but I don't necessarily say I'm Serbian. I was born in Bosnia. My mom's Croatian, and her maiden name is Brechelmacher.
Oh, wow.
So I've got German and Yugoslavian.
There you go. So how did you, you're born in Bosnia, then you're now living in Loma Linda. So tell us a little bit about your story getting to where you are today.
Yeah. You know, I came to this country when I was 2.5. I was born in Sarajevo, the capital city of Bosnia. And just after we left, a civil war broke out. Croats against the Serbs, the Muslim Bosnians in the middle of all of that. It was a bloody war, potentially anywhere from 300,000 to 500,000 people died and thousands displaced from their homes. Our family home was bombed there in Croatia on the coast. So
really,
that was quite an experience, you know, and we avoided that all because my dad, who's a pastor, wanted to come to America to go to graduate school and get a postdoctoral degree. And man, it turned out to be a huge blessing for our family, in particular because my parents are from these opposing countries. So we end up staying in America, particularly going to Berrien Springs, Michigan, where there's this school called Andrews University that my parents went to. And we stayed there for a while. And then my dad got his first job as a pastor in America in an English-speaking church in Ohio, a district there of three churches. One church had like 7 people in it. Another church had 5 people in it. And then there was this other main church that had a little over 100 people. You know, so that was quite the interesting journey there. But then we moved to Colorado. So I had an adventure there living in the Rocky Mountains, learned how to snowboard, fell in love with just doing ministry. I didn't have this call to be a pastor. I still wanted to be a doctor. And then I went to back to Andrews in Michigan, and I went to school there freshman year. And I just felt this call to mission. My dad always kind of inspired me. Be a missionary. Do something for the Lord. You know, do missions. Go overseas, you know. And so that kind of hit me then that after that freshman year. And I went to Washington. Didn't go anywhere overseas. I ended up in Washington for one reason or another. But yeah, and that's where I kind of felt this call to ministry. That's where I found my bride. And then I ended up going back to Andrews, declared theology, and became a pastor. And I've never looked back since. So it's been an awesome journey. And we ended up in California because my wife applied to medical school and got into Loma Linda University here in California. And we've been here ever since. She's doing her residency now after medical school, and I'm a pastor at the Loma Linda University Church. I was the youth pastor previously, and now I'm doing young adult ministry and missions work as well. So thoroughly enjoying this season as a father, a pastor, and the sun that we get here in California, almost 360 days out of the year.
not quite that many, but seems like it.
Yeah, it certainly does. How about you, Carl? Now tell me a little about yourself. I'm sure some listeners are wondering, who's this Australian man?
I was born in Australia and raised in the church, so in a similar background in that sense. But I did spend 4 years in New Zealand growing up. So my dad was a teacher, so we moved around a little bit for a number of years, learning the process of going to different schools. And eventually, yeah, ended up where my parents live now, in the Avondale College. Then I started traveling in 2009. International travel became an annual habit in some sense. I was always taking flights elsewhere. I spent a lot of time in Africa. I think I've mentioned that before, but was just drawn to that continent and the happiness and joy that you can kind of see there despite the poverty. So in just thinking about that now, it's just there in many ways living an overflowing life despite all the challenges. So it's an interesting thought.
Wow.
But yeah, in hindsight, I can see that I was kind of on a quest to find some sort of purpose in life. I'd graduated from college in business and in international development. I was kind of chasing that dream of changing the world as well. Yeah, trying to figure out how that was going to happen and really wanted to do something meaningful, because there were a few things that didn't sit right with me, with the standard experience, the standard expectations that people kind of put on you. I think of the idea of the American dream, or what I like to say, the Australian version of the American dream. It was very much the same kind of thing, white picket fence, stability, those kind of ideals. But chasing that didn't mesh with the gospel story that I was familiar with and dreaming up a life of missions. So I was craving something, but I couldn't put my finger on what that was. So about 4 years ago, I think it was, I moved to the States temporarily and really started to get a solid grasp on what that something was, that the gospel story, and be able to piece things together. And so many different ways at that point, my life began to feel like it was starting to overflow or starting to fill up. So that was really, last 4 years since then, I've been involved in ministry in different ways, and it's been a real joy ride. Of course, not all positive. Life has ups and downs, so there's been low seasons, but I feel like it's definitely been trending upward. Yeah, that's a little bit about my background and the direction of my life.
I like what you said about the American version.
The Australian version of the American Australian dream.
Yeah, and I'm just thinking, gosh, the Australian dream is real nice too. You know, you got the Gold Coast and the beaches all around you. But I love how your heart was captured by the gospel story and it changed everything for you. That's beautiful.
Yeah,
that's beautiful.
Hey, so we got a new review from someone in Canada, Rockwall89, their name is. So maybe they like rock climbing. I don't know. But they said, my new favorite, this is the latest addition to my weekly must listen list. I love the discussion interview format presented in an easy to understand manner. Relevant, challenging, and thought-provoking topics. Thank you. So thanks, Rockwall89. Great to hear from you.
Hey, that is really cool. I love that. I enjoy rock climbing too, if that really is who you are. We're like painting this picture about who this person is. But that's very generous. And our hope is that this podcast truly would be a relevant and meaningful resource for people. But hey, and if you have any comments on what you want to see for the next season, or even some thoughts about what you liked or didn't like, we always love getting those reviews and emails. So please keep those coming.
Yeah. So looking ahead, let's talk about season two. We're coming to the end of season one. We've got one more episode next week. So we'll be talking with Gene Gersbach, who has a powerful story to share with us all. That's going to tie in the themes that we've been talking about this season. So don't miss that one. But then we'll take a break for a few weeks. The plan is to be back with season two in October. The two ideas we've been thinking about are stories of overflow, or broken love and redeeming grace. We asked Instagram to help us decide, and the answer was both. So that's the plan. But We're going to be talking about broken love and redeeming grace first. So we're going to dig deeper into some of the themes we've touched on in this first season and have guests on the show who can help us navigate the brokenness and find the path to redemption.
Mm.
So subscribe to the podcast, follow us on Instagram, like us on Facebook, sign up to our email list on our website. This is not a season you'll want to miss.
Mm, I'm excited about that.
Today, though, Philip, got a message from one of our Instagram followers, Mary, and she said she'd be interested in hearing about how to not let the desire and longing for heaven take over your life to the point where you don't enjoy life on earth.
Mm.
I feel like I've heard a lot of people in the church talk so much about the promise of heaven while neglecting to find joy and happiness in the here and now. What do you think about that?
Wow. Well, first off, Mary, so good to hear from you. But my initial thought is just why? Why not let your life be fully consumed with heaven's glory and what is to come? I mean, I think when we do get so excited about the future, it can change our present reality. So I would say, man, indulge that. But I do also catch the sentiment she's thinking about. But if I could just go along with the first idea I had just there for a moment, let this all-consuming passion about God's kingdom rule in your life about what is to come. I think of C.S. Lewis, who has this quote that I just think is just so beautiful. It says this, "It would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures fooling around with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea, we are far too easily pleased." Oh, man, this quote, every time I read that, I've used it in multiple sermons, I'm embarrassed that my way of just thinking through and understanding the gospel, because I'm just like, Lord, I feel as though my desires for the kingdom are far too weak, far too easily distracted from, by rather, sex, ambition, pride, enjoyment in just kind of this earth and this now. But there is this sentiment that I hear what Mary's saying, and I think some people lack to bring the kingdom vision into the earthly existence, because Jesus talked about, hey, I have come. And when he says that, I mean, he's bringing about this reference, hey, the kingdom of heaven is here.
Yeah.
So there's something about that that's really important to recognize. It is about what is to come, but there's also something beautiful about bringing what is to come into this here and now. And the question kind of is pondering in my head, how do we do that? I wonder what you think about all this, Carl.
Yeah, that's really good thoughts there. I think of Matthew 6, the Lord's Prayer, which I think we touched on in the last couple of weeks, looking at what Jesus says there. He says, "Your kingdom come." This is a part of it, the prayer. "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So I just think of that and saying that God is suggesting, or Jesus is suggesting, that we are praying to God, asking for his kingdom to become here on earth as it is in heaven.
Mm.
So it's something that we can't ignore in today's world.
Yeah, so I think that's really great, because it just points out the reality. Hey, yes, it's about the kingdom to come, but it's also about the here and now. Jesus even recognizes this tension that Mary's living with people who just seem to think about heaven but forget about this earth and what is here and now.
Yeah, think of like the Pharisees, Luke 17, verse 21. The Pharisees were asking Jesus when the kingdom of God would come. So we don't want to get caught up in just waiting for something in the future and living the mundane life in the now. Because Jesus answered the Pharisees. He said, "The kingdom of God is not coming in ways that can be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There.' For behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you." So I think Jesus is making the distinction here between heaven and the kingdom of God. Heaven will come in a way that can be observed, but the kingdom of God is in the midst of us now. Because Jesus was representing that kingdom there.
Wow. Wow, that's really rich. I think of the fact that many people fail to recognize that they can be a conduit of the kingdom here and now. And I think that's the point of the overflow. It's like you recognize that when you plug into that same spirit that Jesus plugged into, which was the Godhead, this triune existence, he could live out the overflow and it changed people's lives. And likewise, when you and I live into that reality with the Holy Spirit, man, that changes everything. The people around us, our life, our complete existence.
Mm, yeah. So to Mary's question, she said, how do we not let the desire for longing for heaven to take over our lives? So we were made for a different reality. And as we've just talked about, that is the important to keep that in mind. But in today's world, we do need to think about the kingdom. So let's talk about a couple of reasons how that I see. Number one, I would say that we really need to understand who God is and his true character. If we're spending time with Jesus today, tomorrow, and every day, and asking him to fill us with the joy, with his joy for now, I think that's really important. And number two, I'd say we also have to understand that the kingdom of heaven is here now. Like we were just talking about, Jesus came to bring an alternative way of life that should be attractive to others. I think of the idea that Jesus talked about often, the kingdom of light is fighting the kingdom of darkness for each of our souls. And that's something that's happening right now, every day. So there is the kingdom of light that is present now. And number three, I think that ultimately, when we are filled with the joy after understanding God's character and that we're knowing that the kingdom of heaven is now, I think that looks like a life that is echoing kingdom values. Mm. When we do that, it brings a taste of heaven to those around us. It's not that we don't value or long for heaven any less, but I've discovered over time that when I live out those kingdom values, I actually have a more fulfilling life. So there's no point commiserating about the state of the world and just sitting around waiting for the New Jerusalem, because that doesn't bring heaven to earth any faster.
Wow. Wow. That's so rich. I love that last point when someone's just commiserating about the state of the world and sitting around for the New Jerusalem. I think of many people right now who are wondering about the end times, wondering about...
Yeah, especially in coronavirus season.
Oh my goodness. I think that has risen everyone's anxiety about what's to come and fear of the future. And I think there's a place where Christians can really bring healing to alleviate the stresses, as opposed to kind of just dwelling upon, here are the last day events. This is how, you know, you got to watch out for this and this and this group. And here's how this prophecy works. And, you know, there's this sense that some individuals find themselves so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good, that phrase. I think it's so easy to fall into that. You forget, like, man, I've got to still be a blessing here and now. I still need to be a conduit of Christ here and now. It's not just about me protecting myself, making sure my family has a place that's safe and good. And, you know, I'm going to buy a gun. I'm going to buy a plot of land far, far away that I can't be hit with anything or a target of anyone. But it's like, how can you still be a blessing here and now? I'm not saying, okay, don't take precautions of any kind, but there must be this sense of, Holy Spirit, fill my life. May I be a blessing to those around me. Help me to live into the reality of the kingdom that you've placed in my grips as I'm connected with you. That's a different way of living, and it provides a sense of security.
I think the phrase you just talked about, that idea of being heavenly minded, so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good, in terms of the church and the role of the church in today's world, our job is to expand the kingdom. I heard this quote by Jo Saxon recently, and she was talking about looking at the world, and when the world is in a bad state, she said, imagine if the world was said, we don't know how to get through this, let's ask the church.
Oh, wow.
Like, imagine that was the reality, and how the church could kind of speak into that.
Wow. Wow, that's powerful. If society would only do that. But to be honest with you, I think there are moments where that does happen.
Yes.
When this pandemic occurred, I think it was the number one searched for word in Google, and that was prayer. People were, as soon as it happened there in March, that was the number one word, and like hope and peace and fear and love. These words just saw a skyrocket of searches because people were wondering. They were seeking. The question would be then, was the church offering something of substance to speak to the anxious, worried, fretting mind?
Yeah.
You know, and that's where I think one, if I can just say one last thing, is most people don't leave church communities because of doctrinal beliefs or disagreements over the Bible. That's not a big one. One survey I was reading within our own denomination in Adventism, most people, almost half the people leave because of conflicts. They don't know how to live with one another here on earth. They're not sure how to navigate marriage, conflicts in the church, conflicts with each other as church members. So it's like, being earthly minded, bring the kingdom overflow here now is so important.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, that's what our whole podcast is focused on, this idea of figuring out how we can live a more overflowing and fulfilling life. So while we're still looking forward to that day when all our tears will be wiped away, there's still that goal for us to have that abundant life that Jesus promised us.
Yeah.
So to look at the definition for overflow that we talked about early on in the season, this idea of being so full of God's gifts that those around you receive some of his goodness too.
Mm.
I think that's our goal for this whole podcast. So if you're wondering about that question any further, I hope you stay with us for the journey. I think of episode 5 when we had Ken Curtis on in the conversation. We're talking about grace. He said, he was quoting one of his friends, he said, "Grace is not just something that gives me a ticket into heaven and sets me at ease. It's also what shapes the way that I live. It changes the way that I serve, and it changes the way I minister and lead."
Mm.
So it's that idea that grace is for the now as well, not just the ticket into heaven, right?
Wow, that's rich.
Something else that popped up over and over again this season, especially when we're interviewing those guests, it was this importance of spending time with God. Not just reading our Bible, but spending time with. Todd was talking about this idea of hanging out.
Mm.
I think that's really cool, just to remember. And it was interesting how it popped up in relevance to love, grace, and forgiveness all together, in a sense.
And that's not something that is about necessarily what is to come. It's about, hey, I want to experience Christ here in this moment. Some people think about getting to know Jesus better one day, but it's all about today's experience with him. It's about the fresh experience of a relationship deepening every day with him. I think that's really important. Yeah. And that's very earthly minded, you could say, in some way, with a heavenly focus.
I like that.
Yeah. I also remember, you know, when we got married, Elaine and I, almost 11 and a half years ago, our pre-marriage counselor, he pulled me aside after one of our sessions, and he had a really serious look in his face. And he said, "Philip, I need to really tell you something that I didn't say this out loud with your wife there, but I need you to recognize this because it's probably the most important thing I'm going to tell you." And I was like, all ears. Whoa, okay.
Yeah.
What do you have to say? He said, "If you don't want to have an affair, if you don't want to end up in divorce, if you don't want to end up in unhappiness and constant conflict and just a journey of always in pain, remember this. Satan wants to do anything and everything he can to wipe out your walk with Jesus. And if he does, you will find yourself in all those things I just listed." And I was just like, whoa. And he looks at me and he says, "Philip, you need to do whatever you can to fight for your walk with the Lord. on that daily basis kind of existence. Mm. And that was a big deal for me when I heard that. I was just like, wow, if there's any priority I have walking into this, it's that. It's spending time with the Lord. And he addressed this in the sense that when you commune with the Savior of the world, your designer, your God, you begin to realize just a deeper quality about yourself, but then also how to love my wife better, how to forgive in times of conflict, how to extend grace to her. And so that was a really big moment for me that I thought, if there's anything right now I'm taking away from this today, it is I'm getting on my knees and in the Word every single day.
Mm. Now, you mentioned early in the season talking about some of the difficulties you and Elena did have early on in your marriage. So was there a correlation with your devotional time at that time, at that point?
Oh, Carl, absolutely. I mean, I'm a pastor. I am a man who's been married 11 years. We have a baby girl. You know, I've gone through some things. But one thing I wish I would never repeat is falling away from my time with Jesus. Because each season that we were struggling, I was struggling with my walk with the Lord as well. Mm. There is the significant correlation. It isn't always like that day I didn't pray and therefore we had a fight. I don't think it goes like that. But there is this notion of a day goes by, another day goes by. I have a lot to do. I don't have time. And then you just find yourself in a different state of being that isn't plugged into the Holy Spirit, that isn't plugged into the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. And then you find yourself acting out of this carnal, fleshly nature. So it isn't like a instantaneous, but it is a building of a wall. And the moment I fall back in those places of intimacy with Christ, absolutely, I am more gentle, more kind, full of patience. You know, absolutely. Will things get irritating? Sure. But it's a different reality when you're walking with Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. You know that phrase that some people say sometimes, that people will rise to the challenge.
Mm.
I read a quote from an ancient Greek poet, Archilochus. I don't know how to say his
name.
Archilochus.
Let's
call him Archilochus. but it was really interesting to hear what he was, to read what he was saying, because he said, we don't rise to the level of our expectations. We fall to the level of our training.
Mm.
Nobody rises to the challenge. They fall back on their training. So that kind of tips that idea on its head. You'd fall back on what you've trained. So if you're training in your walk with God, you fall back to that. You don't come up against a challenge and say, okay, now what am I going to do? And all of a sudden know the answer. No, you fall back to the level of your training.
Mm.
So we have this idea of reaction versus response, that paradigm that we talked about last week with John. And I've learned that it's so important to respond rather than react. One of the times I remember fighting through this idea was when I was struggling with the idea of forgiveness. I was mad at one of my close friends. He had left town because of what had happened in the recent months. And then one Friday night, I showed up for a program at my church and his car was in the parking lot. I didn't know he was back in town. And my heart just started beating fast. And so I ignored him the whole night. I avoided eye contact. I just couldn't handle it. But the Spirit was working hard on my with my conscience there. And the crazy part is that it wasn't just a regular Friday night program. It was an agape feast. We had communion. We did the foot washing, all these things. And so it was all about forgiveness. And what the preacher was saying just was hitting me hard and realizing that, yeah, I need to forgive. But in the moment, I just couldn't figure that out in my mind.
Mm.
So that importance of coming up with the response, coming up with that forgiving heart is so valuable. We ended up working things out a few days later But it was a painful experience. Mm. It was painful.
I think so many people fall into those seasons of dealing with the struggle. Do I not forgive? Do I not give mm-hmm. grace? Do I not love this person? And I think many of us need to recognize there are overflow traps. And when I say that trap, I mean, you know, like a mouse walks into a trap, like, gotcha, you know. You're not going to go into overflow because you fell into the trap. So if I could just name a few, Carl, I would just say hurry is a huge one. This cuts out your time in life to actually reflect. Why did I say that? What did he mean by this? What's going on in her life? I'm seeing something interesting here. But it's like, nope, don't have time. Got to keep going. Got to keep moving. And there are seasons in life where, hey, I'm, again, I feel like I've been doing this confessional on this podcast the whole time, but you know, as a pastor, there are times I'm far from living in a space of I'm an unhurried leader. You know, I at times just go and go, go, go. But those times that I'm in hurry, I don't find myself meeting the real needs of the real people around me, whether it's my wife, friends, family, others. So hurry is a big one. The other one is sacrifice. And what do I mean by that? I mean, where are you spending your greatest sacrifices of your time, relationships? The things that you sacrifice for reveal your priorities in life. So that's another one. Just pay attention what you're sacrificing for. It's like, I could wake up at 4 a.m. if it meant going to X, Y, and Z. Or I could stay up all night if it meant, you know, this. Or I could consider spending all my money on, you know. And then I would use this, halt. When you're hungry, angry, lonely, and tired, and then I would add an S to it, spiritually compromised, you're going to fall into a trap. When you're hungry, you're not thinking right. When you're angry, you're not thinking right. When you're dealing with loneliness, you will make decisions you wish you never did. And when you're tired, you're just not acting out of a space of rational thinking. You know, some people don't recognize it, but scientifically, people who are deeply exhausted, tired, they are almost at the same level of being inebriated, where you're drunk. And so these are spaces and times you got to recognize, hey, wow, I'm in this. I need to take care of myself, take care of this thing. So those are a few traps, I think, as we're kind of ending here, just that, hey, pay attention to some of those in your life.
Yeah, they're good. That's good. Halt. I
like so that. Now, how would you kind of bring some clarity to all of this that we've just kind of shared, Carl?
Yeah, look, I think Jesus called us to let the kingdom overflow in the here and now. Not just in the future, but today. We're talking about all this season. We've been talking about being a conduit. So filling, letting our hearts be full of God's love, God's grace, and God's forgiveness so that we can let that flow out. And really, that means that we'd be living life with kingdom values, full of kingdom values. So as a result of that, we end up living a life that is more overflowing and fulfilling for ourselves, but it also reveals the kingdom and advances the kingdom in our communities.
That's beautiful. You know, if we could leave people with two questions, I could ask maybe the first one here, and that would be, what trap do you find yourself in right now that's holding you back from living in the overflow? Do you find yourself constantly in that halt space, or what are you sacrificing? And how hurried are you in your life? What would be maybe another question, Carl, you could think of?
Well, you brought out that idea of being heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. So let's leave that with our listeners. Do you find yourself in a place where you are so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good? Dwell on that for a few days.
Yeah. And you could even flip it for a moment. Do you find yourself so earthly minded that you rarely dwell on the heavenly spaces, you know?
Yeah.
So, well, we don't want you to miss next week's final episode. It is going to be so good. The story of now you're going to have to say it in the Australian way. It's Gene Goosebach.
Gene Gersbach.
Gersbach. But it is going to be rich. And so we're really excited to be interviewing her. We also want to just make you aware of the reflection guides that are online. Please go to the website, choosetooverflow.com. And there you're going to find all the reflection guides as you can kind of take this a little bit further and share it with others. And without any further ado, we do want to leave you with a blessing as we do each week. And so may God bless you. May His heavenly powers dwell in you and through you. May you be the conduit of His hands and feet on the earth. May your life truly influence for kingdom good on your family, on your friends, on coworkers, on everyone around. And may the mercy of God be upon you in this week. May you choose to overflow. Amen.
Amen. Hey, thanks so much for listening in on our conversation today. If something we said made you think, or maybe you just want to say hello or give some feedback, we'd love to hear from you. You can send us an email at hello@choosetooverflow.com. You can find us on Instagram at choosetooverflow, or check out our website, choosetooverflow.com, where you can find more content, including a reflection guide for today's episode to help you take the conversation further. That's choosetooverflow.com. We also want to thank the Loma Linda University Church for their support of this project. And if this was helpful to you, please leave us a review, share with a friend or three, and subscribe to stay connected. We'll be releasing new episodes every Monday. Thanks again for listening. We hope you choose to overflow this week. Let's chat again soon.